everybody. My name is Carolyn Robinson, and I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here, truly grateful to be sober, and I want to thank whoever was responsible with putting me up here. I only found out a few hours ago. But it is absolutely an honor and a privilege to do anything for Alcoholics Anonymous and give back to Alcoholics Anonymous because AA literally saved my life. I'm from Philadelphia. My home group is Glen Olden Friday night, and we meet in Fulcroft, Delaware County, which is right outside of the city. It's Friday night. We go from 8 o'clock till whenever we're done. And if you're ever in the area, please come and see us. We would love to have you. My sobriety date is March 20th of 1992, and my sponsor is Deb C. from Philadelphia. So I'm just glad to be here. It's always great to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous because I am truly an alcoholic, and what that means to me is that the moment I put a drink to my lips, I can no longer control my behavior. And the moment I put a drink to my lips, I cannot stop drinking until I'm physically incapable of getting any more. And sometimes that could be a few hours, a few days, a few weeks. I never know what's going to happen once I start drinking. I took my very first drink when I was 12 years old. I had a Scotch and Tang. Scotch is what was in the liquor cabinet, and Tang is what the astronauts drank, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. I cut school. It was early in the morning. There was nobody home. I got myself a nice big water glass, filled it up with ice, three quarters of the way up with Scotch, topped it off with the Tang, and drank it down. And I have to tell you, it was foul tasting. Horrible smelling, probably the worst concoction I ever had in my life. And the moment it was done, I fixed myself another and drank it down. And I fixed myself another and drank it down. And I fixed myself another and drank it down. At 12 years old, the moment I took my first drink, I was already an alcoholic. And I made it my business to get booze as often as possible. Not so easy at 12. But I saved up my lunch money. I panhandled on the street. And every Friday and Saturday night, I hung outside the local bar until I got an adult to buy me a quart of beer, and I'd run off into the woods or back behind the shopping center, and that's how my drinking career started. By the time I was 16 years old, I had failed ninth grade three times because I just flat out did not go to school. Because when there's a choice between the keg party in the woods or going to class, I always chose the keg party in the woods. And my parents really tried. My mother would drop me off at the front door. I'd run out the back, you know, in the front, out the back. They'd take my shoes. They'd lock me in my bedroom, but there was a window. And I would fly out the window and, you know, down the tree and up the street. And I am from Philadelphia, so we do get snow in the winter. I am an accomplished barefoot snow walker. Because not having the shoes wasn't going to stop me. And, you know, and this was my life. And, you know, I was blacking out early on, and I'd come to with strange people in strange places doing strange things. And that was my life for a lot of years. And there came the time where I knew that there was something wrong with me. I didn't know what it was. Was certain it wasn't alcohol. And I began that quest of trying to figure out what it was. And I started studying different religions and got into the God thing. And I would go to synagogue on Friday night and church on Sunday. And I'd read the Quran and I'd study Hinduism. And I'd do a million and one different things. But it didn't keep me sober. There was the time I thought that the lack of education was really my problem, like failing to realize that the drink took that away. And so I decided that if I was just educated, my problems would go away. So I took my GED and I passed and took a placement test for a university in Philadelphia, and they let me in. Shocking. But they let me in, and the great news for me was there was, like, where the college was, there were bars everywhere, and they opened at 7 a.m. And, you know, and that those they met my requirement. There was one bar. It was about a block away from the school. Opened at 7 a.m. The bar stool had backs on them, and they weren't particularly interested in how old I was. And that was, you know, that was my formula for a place I wanted to hang in. You know, opened early enough in the morning so I could get started right away because, you know, I might be missing something. And the back on the bar stool was important because, you know, if you wedged yourself in there real good with the back, you know, it was at least three or four drinks before I'd slide out. So that was real important to me. And, you know, and that was my college career. I think at some point, maybe 7 years later, my father called me on the phone and said to me that your transcripts came in the mail and there's graduation date on it. I didn't even know that I graduated college. That's how out there I was. And, of course, being full of fear, I called them up on the phone and I put on my, you know, personality and said that I'd been summering in Europe and do you have my diploma? And they said that they did. And I put on a hat and a pair of sunglasses and I ran up there and got my diploma. And I did it that way because I was certain that if they saw who I really was, that I they wouldn't give me a diploma. You know, and this was the thing that I knew to my innermost self that if you saw who I really was, you would know that I was worthless. You wouldn't like me. You wouldn't want me around. And this is how I really felt inside. By the time I hit Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I was married to a sailor because it seemed like a good idea at the time. He was on me about my drinking. I was famous for the old, I'll be right back. You know, we're low on milk. I'll be right back. And it was just insanity. At the point that he threw me out of the house and I had no place to go, a girlfriend had found me sitting on the curb, you know, with my AA luggage and said to me, if you take one more drink, you're going to die. For the very first time in my life, I wanted to live. I didn't know a thing about detoxes or rehabs, but I knew there was something called Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd written a paper on you people in my deviant behavior course. So I called up the intergroup office, and I told them I lie, cheat, I steal, and I can't stop drinking. And they asked me if I wanted to talk to a woman, and my brain said no, but my mouth said yes. And she directed me to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she had told me that the moment I walked into this meeting, I was to walk up to the first woman that I see and tell her about me and that it had to be a woman. And I walked into my very first AA meeting, and I have no idea what you people were talking about. But at the end, we were standing in a circle saying a prayer. And I was holding the hand of a woman, and I looked at her, and I said, I lie, I cheat, I steal, and I can't stop drinking. The women of Alcoholics Anonymous surrounded me, and it was at that moment that I heard the two most beautiful words in my life. A woman looked me dead in the eye, put her hands on my shoulder, and said, me too. See, I thought that I was the only one that drank when I didn't want to drink. I thought I was the only one that would lie when the truth would serve me better. I thought I was the only one that woke up in strange places with strange people doing strange things. But I'm not. There's millions of us. And I got myself a sponsor. I just kind of threw myself up to the group. She got me right into the books. We started looking at the steps. I did not want to believe in God, but I did it anyway. This was the key. This was the key for me. I did not think the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous were going to work for me, but I did it anyway because I had no place else to go. And you people were nice to me. You set me up in the corner with my little half cup of coffee and you let me shake it out in the rooms of AA. And a miracle happened. I didn't drink. I began to believe. You know, my first concept of God, I wrote down on a piece of paper all the things I wanted God to be. That's how my sponsor directed me to do it. I presented her with my piece of paper and she said, great, that's God. Put it in your pocket and let's go. And we were on to the next step. It has been an amazing journey in AA, and I've gotten 1,001 rewards. But the greatest gift I've gotten from working those 12 steps is I've gotten the ability to look in the mirror and be okay with who I am. I've gotten the ability to tell the truth, even when a lie would serve me better. I actually know what peace is today and freedom. It's just absolutely amazing. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me absolutely everything. It's given me a life today beyond my wildest dreams. You know, when I first walked into the rooms, if you had asked me what I wanted for my life, it would not be this. It definitely would not be this. But this is so much greater than anything I could have imagined for myself. I'm so glad to be here with you all. It's great to be in Southern California, and I'm just honored. Thank you very much for having me.